Hi there. Welcome to Auto Retro, the podcast where we talk to guests about the cars of their lives. I'm David.
And I'm Ed.
And tonight...
Who do we have tonight, David?
We're very lucky tonight. We have our special guest tonight is an educator. He's a teacher. He's also a seasoned podcast professional of nearly 400 episodes.
Amazing.
Indeed, indeed. And he is the man behind Car Talk with Matty J.
He is Matty J.
Indeed. Matthew Janina, welcome to Auto Retro.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
And he's here to talk to us about cars.
I know. With a name like Auto Retro, you'd think it'd be about cars, wouldn't you? Like, that's...
It's in the name.
It is. It's a safe bet.
But not just any cars. We want to talk about...
Retro.
Your cars. Ooh. And your car story.
Exactly. You've been into cars for a long, long time.
Cars are everything in my life, essentially.
I thought you had a new dog. I thought that was...
Oh, okay, yes. Well, Thomas is now a big part of my life. But
he features as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
he likes cars.
He does.
He does. He was riding in the car when I saw you the other day.
Him and the laser are best friends.
Exactly.
So
he rides well.
He rides well. He likes a Forester too, by the way. Like
don't get too comfy. That might be going.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Yes, it'll be sad. But anyway.
Well, let's take you back, Matthew, to right back... David's got some little questions we can refer to here, but one of the first is, what is your first ever car memory?
First ever car memory. That's a good question. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother got me I don't know if you guys remember them, but it was like a play school car where you came with a set of keys and
big plastic
keys, and the door opened, the bonnet opened, and the aerial went up because the aerials electric aerials were pretty cool.
That's luxurious. Absolutely.
And
so now, to a child, how big was it to you? Was it huge?
It was. I still got it, actually. It's about that big and that wide. Still got it, and I always remember having that. But my mum always said to me, like, I was obsessed with anything with a car, and she's like, when I was two, and we used to go walking through the, when they'd go shopping, we'd go walking through the, the car park, and I'd make sure to go through every single aisle, just reel off the name of the cars just one by one.
Well, it was educational, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Long shopping. My mum didn't get out of there for hours on end.
She didn't like taking me shopping.
Just get in the damn car, Matthew.
Absolutely. She did not like taking me shopping at all.
Just hearing you say that about that toy you had, was it Playmobil, did you say?
I think it was
Play School.
I think it was.
School spelt wrong from memory. I think it was SK.
Whatever's
going on
there. Yes, I've seen those.
I was in at a Porsche dealer yesterday, and Playmobil, which make toys for kids, you can now get a Playmobil Taycan. The great thing about that is that it's continuing on to another generation.
Well, you'd say that, but I'm 30, and I'm still playing with Lego cars, as you know. So
they're very addictive, particularly during a lockdown.
Indeed, absolutely. Indeed. I think Lego sales went through the roof during the lockdown.
They would have gone nuts.
Yeah.
So that's your first car memory, is that toy.
Pretty much, yeah.
And where did it go from there in terms of, fast forward through your, slightly autistic knowledge of cars?
Encyclopedic.
That's probably a better word, isn't it? Not that there's anything wrong with autistic. No. I would categorize myself on that spectrum.
Bit on the spectrum, yep.
So then you fast forward, and then there would have been a first car maybe somewhere that you drove.
First car that I ever drove, let's just say legally, was...
Well, it's a safe place here. I mean, if it was a long time ago, the statute of limitations has probably expired.
It would have been.
Yep.
The first car I ever drove was a 1989 KE Ford Laser GL 1.6 automatic. That was the first car I ever drove.
Okay. An illustrious automobile.
Very much so. No power steer, no AC.
So plain Jane.
It was poverty pack.
So is that GL? Wow.
GL.
Yeah, GL.
It was a GL silver. And
the KC, the bubble back, of course.
Well, yeah, it was the KE. So it was the update.
Of the bubble back.
Bubble. They were quite sought after, the bubbles.
They were. Yeah.
Sold gazillions of them, didn't they?
Mainly for young ladies about town. A bubble back laser back then was quite a thing.
Yeah, even the old ads used to go like that.
Laser the amazer.
So whose car was that?
That was my mum's car.
Okay.
Did she know? That's the first car you drove?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good.
So
okay.
She
not in too dangerous territory.
No, so it was 9 p.m. on a cold wintry night around the back streets of my area. And I was like, oh, can we just go out and take it for a run? She's like, no. And I think she just did it to shut me up.
Yeah. So, oh, wow.
So she's like, all right, we'll just go around the block. And I went around the block and I was like, and I just kept going around. And she's like, all right, that's enough.
Right,
like,
enough.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, so how old were you?
15.
Okay. So okay. Not quite L plates.
Not quite L plates, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. So, and what was your impression after that? Did you think, I love driving, or this is horrible, I hate this car?
No, I thought this was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, I mean, it was...
Didn't really matter what it was it?
No.
Back then, that first drive.
You were on the road and that was that. Like, that was supposed to be my first car, but it didn't end up happening.
Didn't last that long.
No. It lasted. It's still around somewhere in Sydney, I believe, the car. So, yeah, that was
the silver.
That was the silver one, and it was very recognizable because my brother fell off his bike and the bike landed on the bonnet of the car and put a massive gouge in the bonnet.
Oh, okay. Never good.
So, touch-up wasn't going to fix that, let's be honest. And but that was Mum's car because she needed a car after our XF Fairmont got stolen. With the money that we didn't get much from the XF.
Easy to steal. They were very easy to still are. I think
the dipstick was part of the you could pull the dipstick and it'd go in the ignition and
turn
it. Yeah, that's straight true. Away. Yep. That's true.
Ford came to the senses finally in the EB series of Falcons.
With the smart lock system, EB which flashed.
Smart lock.
In the middle.
Smart lock. And do you remember those locks on EBs? They'd go. They had a real, because it was sort of like it was an old man getting out of bed. Like, don't wake me up, and you'd click the remote, and again,
well, it's funny you say that because, you know, my mum's got she's got an EF XR8 at the moment, and still got that it's a horrible noise.
It's not nice.
Not nice.
But so that was the laser you learnt to drive in. Or no, not learnt, had a drive.
Had a drive.
First drive.
Correct, yeah.
Yep.
Then we fast forward. What was your first car ever?
My first car ever. So, again, I was supposed to get that laser, that silver laser, like the KE. But the neighbours needed a car, and they needed a car quickly, and we sold it for $1,000, and they drove it to Sydney and never saw it again. But apparently it's still there. They sold it to a family friend of theirs, and apparently it's still working. So
cool.
I think we need to find that car.
You might need to find that. I think bring it home for you.
Home. Yeah. I know.
We'll put it on, like, on Top Gear. We'll put it on a plinth, you know, in your front yard.
And I'll be like, well, this
the
is
silver
a,
bullet.
A silver bullet. Oh, yeah. Always.
Well, it might be overstating it.
Just a little bit. But then we got into it. So I obviously needed a car.
Yeah.
And Mum had a V6 Camry. Which I loved.
Lovely which car. Was that wasn't the wide body. That no. was the no, first
SV21 shape.
Yeah, yep. So yeah, that's quad cam. Yeah, quad cam V6.
Yeah,
so they called it the VZ21 because Toyota's got
zippy. SV21.
Correct. They got a way of naming their cars after engine codes and stuff. So
yes.
So the V6 engines were started with a V in there. You know, 2VZ. So the V denoted that, so that's what they changed.
Yeah, okay. Sensible Toyota.
Sensible, very sensible. Sensible. Toyota just do things very sensibly, don't they?
They do. But now a Camry can be perceived by the kids as being a bit of a daggy car. Was the V6 perceived by the family or the younger ones in the family as a daggy car or a great car?
Well, I love that car. Okay. I'd do anything to get it back. But it went hard. Always remember how hard it used to go. All my mates at school had like Commodores and Falcons and stuff, and I taught them a thing or two on the Camry.
Oh, okay. So we fast forward to having the license, hopefully.
Correct. At this yes.
stage. Okay, and driving the V6
Camry. It's a bit of a sleeper, really, because A, they were expensive, the they V6 were. Version, and B, you know, don't know that because of that, they didn't sell a whole lot of them. So, you know, if you look at any SV21 Camry in the street or wherever, you might still find one, and they're still out there. They're very reliable.
There. They are reliable.
It is. 9 times out of 10 going to be a 4-cylinder. And the V6, rare. So people wouldn't expect it.
No.
That's right.
It's a sleeper.
Yeah, I remember reading when he first got it, like, again, the internet was kind of like a new thing for us. We got that and we got a computer. And I was like, ooh.
You'd made it, man.
We had made
your family was like, here. You know what? You were Neville Bartos. You were flying.
Yes, correct. Here, Camry.
Here, Camry. V6. Man, I'm flying. But that wasn't your car, though. You drove that, but it wasn't your car.
I drove that car. That was the first car I legally drove.
Yeah.
And, I loved it. I genuinely missed that car. It had the coldest aircon I've ever had. It just was brilliant.
Good machine.
It just worked. I mean, the transmission especially on the V6s, were known to not be the best.
Probably putting too much power through it, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah.
I'd say so. The four cylinder doesn't matter, not a problem.
V6, when you had a young L-plater and P-plater driving it, didn't really like it as much.
Fast starts.
Yes. It did spin up the wheels quite well, though. So
so you drove around in that quite a bit.
I did.
But then that wasn't your own car.
No. So during the same time, that was still mum's car at the time.
Yeah.
My mum works at a mechanical workshop, and they had in...
Is she a mechanic?
No, she's a...
On the tools?
I wish she was. My bills would be a lot cheaper.
How cool would that be? Imagine that. Ma, it's running rough on cylinder five. I told you. Check the timing.
I'll just see her underneath the car. Just, yeah. Just, pass me the 10 minutes.
That would be every young car guy's dream, wouldn't it, to have your mum...
Be great.
Be a mechanic.
It'd be like the best thing ever.
All your mates would be around. Wow, your mum's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But anyway, she worked there, and she still does work there, actually. And
yeah.
And I call him Rat Bags. But my mechanic right now, he's a great guy. He's known me since I've been, you know, like a pup, like real young.
Yeah.
Had this KH Series 1 manual aircon, no steer, GL.
Okay.
In burgundy.
A laser again for our listeners at home.
Yes, it's a laser again.
Another laser.
Another Ford laser. So it was a 92.
It was very fitting, you know, given that first drive was in a laser and now your first car is a laser.
That's correct.
And what did you drive here tonight in?
A laser.
And we'll get to that later. But there's a little bit of a theme going on.
A little bit of a connection. I'm one of those weird people that, like, everyone likes, like, you know, Golfs and 86s and stuff, and here's me liking lasers. Like,
and when you say everyone, I don't much care for a Golf.
This is true. This is true. But the perceived again, like, at high school, you know, well, my high school in the northern suburbs, like, having a car was, like, a really cool thing. And you were kind of judged on what car you had.
Of course.
You know, it was a bit of a status thing, right?
Of course. Oh, the school car park. First, it's what car your parents drove you to school in.
Yes.
You know, or Nissan dropped Irvine. You off in. Yes. Yeah, Nissan Irvine, which I made them park around the corner.
Yeah, understand.
See, I think that's cool.
My base model Gemini in chamois with chamois interior.
Ooh, that was which the is, you know, for anyone listening, it's beige on like beige.
Beige on beige, putty beige.
Yes. It's a very big thing as a kid. Not just any kid. Any kid's probably a bit sensitive, but a car kid like you or me or David,
absolutely.
What you got dropped off or picked up at school was it was like part of your DNA.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I remember, as you said, the Nissan Irvine, I made my parents park it around the corner. It's so embarrassing. Now, with the stripes,
cool.
It's kind of retro cool. Now, back Indeed. Then, not good. So you got dropped off in?
Well, I got dropped off in the Camry for many years.
Fine. Okay.
And the Laser and the KE.
And you're walking to school saying, check out the 15-inch alloy wheels. It's a V6.
It's a V6, correct. Absolutely.
And then your first car in the lineup of, you know, student cars, how did that go in the pecking order being?
Lowest.
Oh, one word. Harsh. Lowest.
It was very harsh.
Yeah, so... I mean, I love that car. It was a good car and, you know... Matt was known as the car guy of school. Like, I was obsessed.
Yes.
So basically, to put in context, I finished. It was in year 12 in 2009.
Yeah.
And you know the car park looked like this TS Astra SRI 2.2,
which is quite a nice hottish car.
It was 5 years old. Yeah,
That's not a junky car.
No, it was it went pretty well, that car. You know, your myriad of Commodores and Falcons. There was a brand new Commodore Amiga. which his dad was like,
wow, okay,
yeah,
you know, that's unnecessary, isn't it? Really,
correct. Yeah.
I mean, Amiga was the base model, but still,
true.
A but brand new Commodore. Anything. Like there was a girl at my school that had a brand new Suzuki Vitara 4-door right when that 4-door first came out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And her mum had bought it and didn't really like it, so just sort of gave it to the daughter. And I was driving my Mini, you know, like 60s Mini, and there are a lot of other sort of, you know, a range of things, but she just rocks up in that, and you're like, oh.
That is the ultimate Barbie girl car, isn't it?
It is.
It absolutely is.
I mean, a soft top Vitara probably would have been more Barbie.
Yeah, more Barbie, perhaps.
It was still like, oh, wow, nice car.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
30, back then, you know, yeah, 35 grand or something. Yeah, like, yeah. Just because mum didn't really like it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah, well, you can. Here's the keys.
Yeah, exactly. So you were lowest in the pecking order, but you were the biggest car guy.
I was the biggest car guy.
But I think there's still, I don't know, for me, and I'm sure you were the same, there was still a very big sense of pride in your car, no matter what it was.
Absolutely.
Because it was just yours.
Absolutely. It was your own. It was yours. Freedom.
Yeah, it was all of that.
You were off.
I think for me it was
wherever you liked.
Yeah, correct. And I think for me it was more the fact that, I mean, I worked hard. I was working at Red Rooster. I saved up my $6.90 an hour, and
I got $6.
That was when I first started there. That was pathetic.
Mind you, petrol was probably like 70 cents a litre.
That's
back
true.
Then.
Oh no, it was over a dollar.
Over a dollar.
Over a dollar. Yep.
Triple me.
Yeah, I always went cheapo Tuesdays to fill it up.
Yeah,
which didn't really.
Didn't make much of a difference.
No, it didn't make a difference at
all. Just drive it one less time a week.
Correct.
So the Burgundy Laser was your first ever car.
Was.
Worst in the school lineup.
Absolutely.
What came next?
Next was my current Laser, which I still own.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's your second car.
That's my second car. Yeah.
Wow. Far
out.
Yeah.
Which is a...
So you've had that...
I got that...
10 years, at least 10 years.
I've had it 12 years this
12
year.
12 years. Impressive.
That's quite long to have a car.
Yeah.
In this day and age. Now, let's tell the listeners, what is that car? Well, hang on. A lot of my cars I've owned for many years.
That's true. That is true.
That car is a 2001?
Correct.
Yes. Ford Laser.
SR2.
SR2.
Yeah, the big
not
one.
The base one, the top of the pops.
Top of the range.
Well, hang on. Was there one higher than that?
No, that was it. That was the most expensive.
So you've gone from the basest Laser
to the toppest.
Said,
to the
toppest. God damn it. My second car is not going to be the basest Laser. I'm going to go the top Laser.
Well, see, I wasn't.
Room of the cream.
I wasn't wanting to get an SR2, but I always liked them because my neighbor, when I was a kid, he used to work for Ford. He bought one brand new in blue. And I was like, oh, it's such a cool car.
Such a nice car.
Because we had the KE at the time. I was and then old to new, I was like, wow, that's like
so different. Such different. A quantum leap in lasers.
It really was.
And it was a big jump styling wise and everything. It was quite modern, that car.
It was. For a time, it was a good looking car. I thought.
I think they still are.
Yeah.
They're very tidy, that model.
Yeah.
And the SR2, they were built in Japan, weren't
Japan,
they?
Japan, yeah.
Of course. So that was a big change from the local assembly of the KH.
No wonder it was good.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, my KH had done a lot of kilometers. I paid $500 for the car.
Yeah.
And it was falling to bits. But
this second one, what did you pay for that?
I paid $8,000.
Which is big jump.
That was massive. Jump. Like, I
That's
screamed.
That's a lot of hours at Red Rooster.
That's a hell of a lot of hours at Red Rooster. Red Rooster.
I was working Red Rooster and Target to pay for that back in the day. So,
two jobs.
As well as at TAFE. And then I just worked my ass off to. I scrimped and. The guys would be gone for lunch and be like, I brought a sandwich from home today.
Look at you.
Good work. So, wow.
Priorities.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant.
Well, I would have kept my Red Laser, but my mechanic was like, he's like, Matt, I know I sold you the car, but he's like, it's hatted.
It's
like,
time.
It's time, yeah.
And you'd probably given it a few hard kilometres in those early years.
It's your first car.
Yeah. You're trying things out. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I had fun in that car, but the thing is, I really wanted a TX3 Turbo, to be precise.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, actually, it wasn't the top Laser.
Well, I mean, they didn't do a TX3 in the KQ. But they, for some reason, when I got my P's, they changed the law so you couldn't drive anything with a turbocharger.
Okay. Yeah.
And as soon as I got off my P's, you could drive a turbo because they went back to powered away, and I was like, damn. Yep. And then I missed out on getting a TX3 turbo.
Yeah.
And now they've both sailed. So
yep.
To find one, B to afford one.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So.
So that was second car.
Correct.
Still owned.
It's my favorite car. I'll get rid of everything else before I get rid of that car. So.
Wow.
Okay.
So yeah, that's.
And it's very tidy. You know, it's for a black car. You know,
exactly.
It's
very nice.
It's. Yeah.
Takes commitment to keep a black car looking that good and for that long.
It does.
And you're the man that's got it.
And look, it needs a respray and stuff. But it's, you know what? It's 300,000 Ks.
Very presentable.
It's very presentable. It's got nothing wrong with it. So,
and then what was our next trajectory? Maybe some highlights, lowlights of what came next.
Yeah, yes. Well, the next car I still have. Well, I'll preface, I still own all the cars that are at the same.
Okay. So here, right, we're
going to run through, basically, just run through your collection now.
So, okay. Well, the next car I got was, because I went to TAFE and then got credits to go to uni, went to uni, saved again. And as like a little present to myself, my mum, we didn't have a lot of money at the time, but she's like, look, here's you know, a few thousand dollars. Well, it wasn't a lot. She's like, put it towards your car that you want. Because she's like, she always promised me, like, go to uni, I'll buy you a car.
Okay.
And circumstances happen but
you could still buy a car for that. It might not just be the one you want.
Not the one I wanted.
No.
And
a beautiful model.
Correct. which I do have a lot of.
Yeah.
I ended up buying a 2004 F6 Typhoon. And that was
the next one.
That was the next one.
Ooh, which is quite a laser.
Yeah.
Still a Ford. Mm-hmm. Very different Ford.
Correct.
So F6 Typhoon is straight six, turbocharged.
Correct, yeah.
Manual,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that car, David and I have seen that car. That is a very clean car.
It's a beautiful car.
It's a very tidy original car, yeah.
All the books, all the original keys, everything's got the original compendium that came with it. Yeah. I think you've talked about that.
Build certificates and all that stuff. Yeah.
That's a very collectible machine. And it's gone up quite a bit.
Well, that is money in the bank, I was just going to say. That, yeah. Those sort of cars.
It's weird. Like,
especially with the finishing up of local production.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's weird. Like, I paid 18 grand for that car.
Wow. Okay. And
what is it car now?
They're going 50 grand. Wow. And it's,
yep.
I mean, to me, it's preposterous. I wouldn't pay 50 grand, but.
No, but that's what people will pay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who are only sort of now appreciating this, what a special car it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is a special car. It's, they're all uniquely numbered and it was the first of. It's the first turbo FPV. It was the first time they used the 6-speed manual. It was a first of first for that car.
Yeah.
And the engine's beautiful. Like it's the highlight. It's the centerpiece.
What
of
do
that
I
car.
Call that car, man? I've driven it. What do I call it?
The Velvet Glove.
The Velvet Glove. It's powerful but firm. It but is soft at the same time.
He's thought about it a lot.
He has.
Yes.
It just came to me one day when I was in it. We took it down to Bairnsdale, I think.
We did, yeah.
To buy my Pajero, I think. And, Matt's like, what do you think of the car, Ed? And I was like, it's like a velvet glove. You know, it's just it's very powerful but soft. Yeah. Anyway, so we have that. That's still in the collection. Laser's still in the collection.
Those two are pretty much the mainstays. I don't think they're going anywhere.
And that has a very good a very low case.
Yeah, 136.
Unlike the laser, that's got 300. Has it clocked 3 yet?
It's 1,000 Ks away.
Oh, we've got to drive it. Let's go on a road trip.
I wanted to
let's
do it.
Let's tick it over.
We want photos.
Yeah,
2999. So, I've got to do that. I want to tick it over.
I love the tick over. Well, I remember my friend's dad, he had an S-Class back in the 90s. It was an 80s model, but it was back in the 90s.
126?
Yeah, 126. It was navy blue with the cream leather.
Beautiful car.
380 SEL. Oof, and that car, nice. He bought it with like 274 on it and was about to clock 3. And I saw him one day and I said, have you clocked it? You know? And he goes, yep. I said, why are you sad? Aren't you proud? And he said, worth abs. Now, that just proves it's worth absolutely nothing. And I'm like, yeah, but then you get so high in the Ks that it's good.
Absolutely.
You know, and you're like, right. Oh, do you reckon I can get to 320 or 350? You know, it's a real boom.
Well, there's like that Volvo overseas that did, 8 million kilometers?
Yeah,
and it's like...
Is that the P1800?
Yes. Yeah.
The old guy that bought it new, it passed eventually away recently, died and it's gone to... someone or some museum, I think.
Correct, yeah.
But that, I think that's the world record holder or Guinness World Record holder, yeah.
And I found it a shame that they put that in a museum. I'm like, you got to keep driving it. Someone
might be. I might have got that wrong. They might be still driving it. So someone might.
Well, it's okay.
Cars like that need a custodian, don't they? You don't absolutely. Just sell them off, you know, in the, you know, Facebook marketplace because they need to. They're so special now. You've got to be preserved. And if a museum doesn't do it, then you've got to find the right person
absolutely
to do it.
Absolutely,
and someone who's prepared to literally never stop driving.
Just
that's right.
Daily the crap out of it.
It's, I imagine the ad. Do you like sitting down whilst moving?
Do you have a 4-hour We've commute? Got a,
yeah. Are you okay? One way?
Are you au fait with a drive-through meal?
We've got the car for you.
Do you like being Uber, but not Uber?
Uber, not Uber.
But yeah.
So now we have a Laser SR2 and we have a Typhoon.
Ford Typhoon. What
came next?
Next came my W124 Mercedes.
Okay.
Wow. Well,
take us through almost, why is there a 124 Mercedes?
Well, I got it for free.
That's as good a reason
that's
as
a
any.
Good reason.
Got it for free.
Well, let's just say that that car, I could have bought a really good one.
Okay.
But you know what? I learned a lot, and I piss farted around with it. I broke it. I fixed it. I painted it. Well, I learned to paint a car. I mean, not a great job.
I've
but
seen the paint job.
I call it a 2-meter car.
Yeah, it's sort of like one of those modern matte finishes without meaning to
that's
be.
That's right. Correct.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Ben's, you were ahead of the time. Rage. Ben's came out with those matte colors, you know, not that long ago.
They did. Yeah. They did.
So yeah, no such thing as a free car.
No.
No. Proven to be the case.
Correct. But you know what? It's taught me a lot.
So that's a 300E, isn't it?
260.
Oh, 260.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the baby
base.
Yep. Well, I was going to say base model. It's not the base
model. No.
It's the entry-level six-cylinder model. Yeah.
Correct. MBTECH, best thing in the world.
Yep. Yes. Indestructible.
Indestructible.
Yep. Like, MBTECH's interior. For those watching, listening, vinyl.
Yes.
You would say.
It is. That's what it
vinyl,
is.
Vinyl. But it's very good vinyl.
Very good
vinyl. As I said to people, you know, there's vinyl and there's vinyl. But the MBTECH, which stands for Mercedes-Benz Textured Trim, is a perforated, you know, the center sections are perforated. It looks like leather.
It does, yeah.
And
it does.
So many people I've met over the years are like, oh, you know, yeah, my car's got, the leather's in beautiful condition. It's the only reason that's looking beautiful is it's MBTECH. It's vinyl. It's not leather.
It never saw the back end of a cow. That
no,
never,
it did
ever.
Not. And we've talked about this before, the wrecking yards, you know, that the cars are often destroyed and rusted, but the MBTECH interiors are beautiful.
Yep.
So it's got that. Now, you still own this car.
I do, even though you've been telling me to get rid of it for the past 3 years. Look, when it works, it works. It drives really nicely when it works. I'd really like to get a TE.
A wagon. Yes, absolutely.
That is, like, I love 124s. I think they are, if not the best car, like, engineered, ever made when they work. I said, I'll specify
and
that.
Yours, you know, to give it some context, yours has done over 500,000
Ks.
Yeah,
mine's done probably over 600,000 at this point.
As far as we know, that car's never had an engine or a head-off.
It's had the head-off.
Head-off, okay.
It had the head-off when by the previous owner.
Yeah.
So they did a head gasket, but that's...
Yep. But never had a bottom-end rebuild or whatever, and it doesn't blow smoke. It's not lethargic. It really is a very strong motor. So that's the 124.
Mm-hmm.
What came after that?
Another free car.
Which you still
own. Yes.
And which is also no such thing as another free car. Cost you a bit.
Not a lot. As much as the Benz.
No,
for sure.
To be fair, it's better than the sum of its parts, this car. It's, I mean, I got this car from my brother's girlfriend's dad who had it for years, had it for 20 plus years. And.
Mm. We need to say what it is.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. It is a 89, like the 124, but it's a Ford LTD. So long wheelbase.
And a Broadmeadows built.
Correct, yeah.
Flagship
and LTD
of the fleet.
That was the flagship. It was no higher.
No, it was an expensive car.
Yours has got velour.
You couldn't get leather in the DA.
Ah, only in the update.
In the DC.
Update, which was what, 90 onwards or 91?
Yeah, 90. Yeah. They had like a little shift change.
Now imagine 1989 and you lift up your double garage door in, you know, what's a cool suburb in 89? Vermont South?
Yeah, Vermont South. Yeah.
You know,
Ivanhoe.
Ivanhoe.
Old money. But no, Vermont South, you just built your new AV Jennings dream home. you've inherited some money.
Absolutely.
So you build your own AV Jennings dream home. It's got a double garage and you treat yourself to a couple of cars.
Absolutely.
Up goes the door. You got the brand new LTD, white with grey velour. Next to it, the 260E Mercedes, or same year, you know, grey on grey vinyl. But the neighbours don't know.
They don't know that.
Oh, no.
Imagine those two. You were quite someone in 1989.
You would be an absolute baller.
You were rolling.
Absolutely.
Mm.
People like respect.
Yeah, they would get out of you. They'd be like, "Well, this guy's made it." My dad hopped in the LTD probably a week ago. I took him for a drive because he could, you know, went for a drive, and he's like when he first came to Australia in 87, his friends had one in 89, bought a brand new LTD.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's like, it was like a spaceship back then.
Yeah.
And he's like, not so much now, but he's like,
but it was a big, like we said before with the laser, it was a big jump in those models. Huge. I remember my dad had an 86 ZL Fairlane, which was one of the last of that old boxy shape that had since the early 80s.
Yep.
Then in 89 out came that new Fairlane, LTD being the same shape.
Yep.
And I remember the first time I saw one was at the motor show and spinning around on the turntable. And I was like, wow, that's the new Fairlane. The thing that got me the most was the wedginess of it.
Yes.
And the lenses at the back.
Yeah.
Yep.
The big, they look like computer graphic, huge rectangular lenses, which was a far cry from those thin sort of low ones on the previous one.
Correct.
And dare I say, a little Aston Martin Lagonda-ish?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, yeah. A little Lagonda-ish. Yeah.
Narrow, low.
That's not
low
a good front. Thing probably, but it's-
Probably not.
It was-
It's more reliable than a Lagonda.
I remember the first one I saw in the flesh was out on opposite the RSPCA in Burwood. And our friends were in a 123 Merc. They owned that old diesel, great car, much better than the Fairlane in hindsight. But we got out of that and we're about to cross the road and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they're like, Ed, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, there's the new Fairlane. And I just stood there looking, going, whoa.
Look at that.
The future has arrived.
The cool thing about those I remember at the time was velour interior, as we've said, a lot of velour.
Hell of a lot.
Everything was velour. The door trims were velour.
Console.
All over. The console was velour.
Seats.
A lot of velour was dyed.
Front of the seats, back of the seats, side of the seat.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's, as you said in your song, if you spilled beer, you wouldn't know because it's
That's right. I did, listeners and viewers, write a little ditty song about Matthew's LTD. And, what was the line? There's absorbent velour is everywhere. You know, spilled your beer, but it doesn't matter because there's absorbent velour everywhere. Something like that. Anyway.
That car actually came to a Highball Car Club show with little Australian flags. Well, Matty,
we talked about it.
And it looked like Paul Keating was arriving.
Keating was there.
Someone said that we drove, because Matty was like, what car do we take? Oh, let's take the LTD because there'll be no one else will bring one.
I haven't seen one since.
And it's white, so it looks very Prime Minister-esque.
It was.
And as we drove in, someone yelled out, hey, where's ScoMo, you know? It was like they should have yelled out, where's Paul Keating?
It got a lot of love, actually, that day. It was cool. Cool.
It's such a tidy old thing. It's great.
It drives really well.
So for a free car, I think that's pretty cool.
And you still got it. Have you ever entertained the idea of selling a car?
I have, and that is the one I've been wanting to sell, despite the fact that I should be wanting to sell the Merc more because the LTD actually works quite well.
But you haven't actually sort of advertised it yet.
No, I haven't. No, it's kind of been a bit of more of a word of mouth. Like the guy that was supposed to buy it, I don't think he could convince the other half. So,
Okay.
So you own that. Now, anything else in the fleet?
I've got So I did do a bit of work on the laser, and my brother had a car that was just sitting there for a bit, and I needed a daily to get around. So I bought a Subaru Forester. Forester XT.
A modern SUV.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's everything.
It's SUV.
Everything against everything I believe in. it really is.
And yet it's so good.
I do like it. Oh, my God.
You know, it's not just a base Forester Auto. This is a little more highly structured.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hot Forester. It's an XT, so it's got it's basically a WRX, but it's got a bigger turbo exhaust, and it's been modified like proper suspension, and you know it's had the works going through it, and it's a bit of a weapon. Like, it's a quick car.
I've driven that car, and it's not velvet glove. It's just glove.
Glove.
It's
yeah.
You know, it's just
slap in the face. Yeah,
it is slap in the face glove. It is quick.
Yeah, yeah. It is a quick car. It's been tuned, and you know, STI short blocking it. And it's a fast car, and so practical and handy. And I call it a wagon, even though like, it's an SUV. I'm like, no, it's a wagon.
What is it? It's still a wagon.
It's still a wagon.
Wagon life.
Yeah.
But and
that's it. That's the lineup.
How many?
No, oh, hang on. No.
Oh, yeah.
There's one more. There's probably, one more.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably my favorite.
Mm. Yes. So I'm a sucker for 80s cars, and I'm always.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. And I just think that because they were just so futuristic looking and wedgy and just cool.
I saw like 80s stereos and 80s, you know, fashion. 80s hair was big. And it was, they weren't scared in the 80s about what people thought. It's like,
absolutely.
I'm big, I'm bold, right. I'm out there, I'm doing it.
I don't care what you
think. I'm living large, screw you.
Yeah. The shoulder pads will prove it to you.
Exactly.
Yep, we're going for it.
Matter of fact, a little bit of extra support me, there, actually. David.
That's all me.
That's all muscle.
Been in the gym, David. Been in the gym.
So what was the 80s treat?
So I've always loved 80s MR2s. So AW11 first-gen MR2s.
Fantastic.
Talk about wedge.
Wedge. It is.
The ultimate wedge.
Some have argued that is the most 80s car ever made. And with fair reason, I think.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The interior's wedge. The exterior's wedge. Everything is wedge. Yeah. Like, it's a piece of cheese, really.
I call it the old cheddar.
If it was yellow, I'd be calling it Swiss. But I've always kind of liked them. And I saw one when I was a kid and I loved it, fell in love with it. And then I saw one on Wheeler Dealers, like when they did one.
Yep. Hold out your hand.
You got yourself a quality motor. You got yourself a thoroughbred, as you would say.
A thoroughbred with an F. Yeah. A thoroughbred.
Thoroughbred.
And when they did one, I was just hooked to the deal. I was 15 at the time when I saw that episode. And I was, I'm like, Mum, that's the car I want. Like,
I love it when you know that.
Yeah.
Like, as car people, there's some cars you're like, it's okay. Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, if it was cheap enough, whatever. But there are some that you just, I will own that one day.
Absolutely.
Mm. You know, and I've got a few. David's got a few.
Yes.
That's amazing three. That you've now secured one of those.
You've absolutely. Got three.
Three that
okay, I've we'll seen. Come back to that.
Yeah.
We'll circle back to that quickly. MR2.
Correct.
Very original car.
Very original car. Finding a car with good bones was a good start. Like, I remember when we looked at it, Edward, we're like, look, it's good. But it just could be great. And, you know, doing those little things made it happen because there's so many just munted ones. And
that's right.
Finding one that was still semi... I mean, that car was on the edge, I think.
It was very original. The only non-original thing, I think, was the wheels and the gear shifter maybe.
Yeah.
But like you said, the toolkit was missing and the cover under the bonnet was missing and, you know, the front bar's been painted and no one's bothered to put the pinstripe back on. And just those, you know, like we said before, the devil's in the detail. And
absolutely.
I think all three of us, as we mentioned, love taking a car that's 80% and getting it to 95%.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that a lot of people just don't know. They go, that's a cool little 80s wedge. Yeah, I'll drive around that. But they don't know it's meant to have that.
Correct.
Or it's meant to have this or this. And, you know, it's the autistic among us that that go to that next level and really make it sing. But the biggest thing was the wheels. And there's a bit of a story about that.
Yeah, we... I looked everywhere for a set of wheels for this thing.
I remember for months you were like, I've looked on forums. I've looked on Gumtree, Facebook Marketplace, eBay. No one had a set of those.
Every time I got close, I mean, I got close in Adelaide once, but the guy's like, I want to sell the car with it. I'm like, I don't need a car. I just need the wheels. Just want the wheels. And he's like, no deal. I'm like, damn. So so then we were at Sakura Picnic earlier. No, sorry, I was going to say earlier this year, but last year.
Yeah. That brilliant event for newer Japanese cars at the Toyota Car Club of Victoria, right?
Yep.
They're a fantastic club. The stuff they run is just really good.
It is good.
Anyway, Edward's like, we're going to get you those wheels. So we got a piece of paper.
I thought, let's go back to basics. Let's go old school. I said, we're going to put a note on the windscreen of your car.
With the little tear off phone
numbers. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Not even. Anyone that walks, we're too lazy to print that out. So anyone that walks past is just going to go, wanted original wheels for this car. Here's a mobile number. So I pulled in my Tarago. You'll put in the MR2.
Correct.
A very short time later.
A blue
another guy.
Yeah. Sorry, you go.
No. It's your, I'll shut up.
No. A blue AW11 pulls up next to me, and like we're just chilling next to your Tarago, and the guy's like.
But I wrote. I by that stage I'd written in my doctor's scrawl. I'm not a doctor, but I have doctor's scrawl.
Well, you're a bit of a doctor, Dr. Bunting.
Anyway, I put that on your windscreen. This guy gets out, and he just goes,
"I got your wheels," and I'm like.
What?
Yeah, okay. And Ed's like, how much?
So, I couldn't believe it. So could not believe it.
Later that week, we went and picked them up and got them restored, got them diamond cut again, you know, just finished up.
Yeah.
And some guys in
Richmond.
Richmond, yeah. Yep. And it just set the car off. Like, it just.
Because it had, they're a 15, aren't they? 14.
Yeah.
But it had 16s on it, I think.
15s.
15s, yeah.
And those original rims on that 80s MR2 are particular to that car, aren't
correct.
They?
That's right.
They were never on any other car.
It was that, yeah. And, and like, the MR2s had two sets of wheels. They had those, and for the series ones, which we never got, they had the triangle, I call them the Dorito wheels.
Okay.
But, yeah, the later ones are the nicest ones, and just that was the one thing that I wanted for the car because it just sets it off.
Just finishes it
yeah.
off.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
As we always say, the wheels maketh the car.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And they do.
Indeed.
So that was one of your dream cars. Just to make sure we've covered off all three of the must-haves in Matthew Janina's life history, MR2, got it.
Typhoon.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And the Laser, wow. which was the SR2, because the next neighbor's one always kind of G'd me up to get one.
Got it.
Yes.
So if you would have died now, you're dying a happy man.
Close.
What's the next dream? Is there anything you don't have that you want?
TX3 turbo four-wheel drive.
Oh, hello.
Okay. Yeah.
The creme de la creme of lasers.
That is what I want. There's one up for sale at the moment. It's a bit rough, but I was like, but anyway.
And how much?
Yeah, a lot of money.
How much is a lot now?
For a rough one, that one, that's like 15 grand.
You know, and it's always nice, I think, as a car person to have that little carrot.
Indeed.
You know? Why do we go to work?
To aspire to.
Why do we go to work for that carrot? Yeah. That's why.
Wow, that's a whole topic for another day.
I know it is. Now, thank you, Matthew Janina, for joining us.
Thank you. Indeed.
Lovely.
It's been great.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been an honour to be on the show.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
We'll plug your podcast.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Car Talk with Maddie J. Yep. And you might occasionally hear David and myself on.
You may.
Car Talk with Maddie J.
You're talking about many shenanigans that's happened in your car world.
Exactly. Indeed. If you want to get down to the nitty gritty, listen to that. But you can find this podcast on Facebook and Instagram at
Auto Retro.
That's right. David's like, podcast. Shit, what is it? What did we call it? At Auto Retro Podcast
that's
on
right.
Facebook and on
and
Instagram. Lovely.
Thank you, Matthew, for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been great. I've really enjoyed myself.
Excellent.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming, mate.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Good night. Oh, yeah.